Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
I was just checking. We still don't have portions of our government that's functioning. I just want everybody to know that. Just because you were like, are they functioning? They are not. They are doing none of the things they're supposed to be doing, which at times is okay. Let's go back. We started this Monday, right? Getting everybody ready. There it comes. New speaker. Da-da-da-da. We got to seat all the new Congress people. Everybody's excited because they know it's going to be a bit of a battle. What kind of battle was it going to be? Well, it was a battle that has allowed us to continue to watch nothing take place.
Democrats chanted their House leader's name like it was a football game. While Republican Representative Kat Tamick made accusations that had Democrats saying, what?
They want us to fight each other. That much has been made clear by the popcorn and blankets and alcohol that is coming over there. The House is not in order.
Vote after vote ended with the same words.
A speaker has not been elected.
The House is not in order.
It's not in order. It's probably not going to be in order anytime soon. I have a feeling this drags on through the weekend. Here is the reality of it. It matters, as I said yesterday, because this is the direction that the Republicans need, in a sense of whoever's going to run this thing is going to be this person is going to be the most important person in the GOP for outside of Trump for the next 2 years. Doesn't mean stuff's going to get done. But they need somebody that is going to be able to lead not only this House, start to set a tone of what should be where they're headed, which right now is off the rails at this moment in time. I don't mind that they put up a little bit of a fight. There's nothing wrong with that. While we were gone, $1.7 trillion. They just signed it off if it's no big deal. There you go. No big deal. They don't even vote on stuff anymore, in a sense. They don't even bring it to the floor. They just throw stuff in there. Nobody argues. Nobody fights. Nobody debates. Nobody reads the damn thing. The thing was like 4,200 pages long. I like some of the stuff they're doing. The reality is, though, a vast majority of it is them pushing back because they love the attention. Not all of them. Some of them have legitimate gripes and arguments to make. But the longer this goes on, and it's going to have to go on a while, McCarthy's got to insert his will if he wants to win. Because if he gives in or they elect somebody else based on what these 20 want, well, guess what? Those 20 will run the show.
It is not happening. And as it's been said, we need to get to a point where we start evaluating what life after Kevin McCarthy looks like.
We're going to find that out sooner rather than later. As far as who's going to win this, or if this is going to drag on for months. I have a feeling if we get through this weekend and there's still nothing, which is a possibility, that is going to be very interesting. When we started this out on Tuesday, was it 1923? Last time the House didn't have a speaker after the first vote. We're now in the 1840s. Is the last time it went on this long. That's a long time, guys. That is. And again, debate is healthy, but they have weakened the seat. Somewhere in there's a middle ground because you guys, for those of you guys who don't know how this works, they're down to one person now can essentially say, I would like to have a vote of no confidence on the speaker. And they got to go through this whole thing again. We're at that point now. With Nancy Pelosi, she went the other way. We have to have a majority of the House have a vote of no confidence before we could even take up the matter kind of thing. Now it's just one person. So on any given matter, they're going to go up, down, up, down. They could just stand up there and play this game, which is what it is. Now, if you've got a plan, let the world know what your plan is. But right now, I see no plan other than I don't like him. Right? So that's where we are. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it. today because I think there's other things that are more important to talk about. But I will tell you this right now. The frustration level is through the roof by a lot of politicians because this battle that's going on between these 20 is a different kind of battle inside of their party. You listen to people who talk, say, look, this is a special clique. They do their own thing. They don't want anybody inside their little group. And that's what we talked about on Monday. It's like high school. And that's what it's become. It's like high school. If you've got a great plan, fantastic. Let everybody know what it is. So far, I've not heard that other than you nominated Trump. You've nominated, might as well nominate me. I'd be a phenomenal speaker, by the way. Can you throw the gavel? Son of a, come over there. Don't make me turn this car around. Yesterday, Joe Biden announced he's going to the border. When? This weekend. Oh.
I will visit the border myself this Sunday in El Paso to assess border enforcement operations, meet with the local officials and community leaders, and the folks at the border sending me what they need that they don't have, and make it public what they conclude they need they don't have to try to convince my Republican colleagues they should do something.
Yada, yada, yada. Yeah, we heard it. That's what you guys are going to do, et cetera, go from there, blah, 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 blah. What is he? What's his big plan? His big plan is there's an app for that. Excuse me? That's the big plan. Four countries, Nicaragua, Cuba, Venezuela. I forget the other one at this point. It's Haiti. So you get to four countries. If you're going to come here, you've got to fill out everything via an app.
First, if they're seeking asylum, they can use an app on their cell phone called CBP1-ONE. CBP1-ONE. That's to spell it out, not the number one. To schedule an appointment at a port of entry.
To schedule an appointment at a port of entry. So that's what we're going with here. None of this stuff changes. It does nothing. It's the same old same. And by the way, to think for a second that this app is going to be rolled out and everything's going to be fine is a bunch of crap. Brandon Judd, guy kind of is the head of the Border Patrol in the agent side of it, kind of like their union head, talking about that earlier today on whether or not this works, and it's not going to work. And it is, it's, and there's plenty of reasons why this isn't going to happen.
One thing that could be a game changer. The only problem is it's going to take months, if not a year, before it can even be implemented if it's not shot down by the courts. The rule that DHS is going to put in place that will require people to claim asylum in the first, say, third country that they come to, that could be a game changer. The only problem with that is that they have to promulgate that rule first. They have to wait 60 days to get public comment from it. Then once they get the public comment from it, then they have to go by, they have to go through and they have to review all the public comments to see if there are any valid points in there. Then they have to make sure that it is going to stand the test of the court system, which we know darn good and well that the ACLU is going to file a lawsuit against it. So, look, this, the chances that gets implemented anytime soon is not going to happen. So that's the only game changer. The vast majority of what they put out is just repackaging their original six pillars. And those six pillars failed miserably.
Yeah, they did. So yesterday he repackaged the turd, rolled it out there. Nothing's going to happen. Obviously, we don't have a Congress to get working on anything, and it's not all Biden's fault. Biden's ignored it. His czar is useless. That's Kamala Harris, but we've already known that. All of those things, but Congress needs to act. We can talk about that all day. You're putting something in place that is going to get legally challenged. That this thing is going to take forever. We went to the website yesterday to look what the app is like. And as I was trying to explain to people, tell me this. Your late 20s, you got a wife and a kid in Haiti, Venezuela, wherever it is, you know, Cuba, like, I mean, come on, whatever it is. Your life is hell. And in Cuba, you might be being persecuted in a way that would, reach the standards of asylum opportunities here. You're in Nicaragua, wherever it is. You mean to tell me you get here to the border and you're like, hello, border? You're like, do you have an app appointment? No, was I supposed to? After braving torturous days, weeks, and potentially months of travel through harsh, heinous conditions that include crime infestation, you name it, all of these things that are taking place along the way, you know? All of these things that are taking place. So you did it. And you get here, and they're like, did you download the app and apply? No. Oh, I got to go back? Okay. And they're just going to turn around and walk back? You really think that's going to happen? Well, we'll expel them. Yeah, we'll expel them. And then 2 minutes later, they're going to turn around and walk straight back in here. And they'll just go, screw it. I'm not going to try to apply for asylum. I'm just going to come in the country illegally, and I'll disappear into society. This is where we are with immigration. And again, there's things that we can do. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to stop everybody. Illegal immigration will still continue to happen in some way because it's not going to be 100%. But yesterday was nothing more than I'll kind of give it a little bit of attention, but it's not going to be anything more than a little bit. And on Sunday, I doubt he's going to a facility. I doubt he's going to talk to Border Patrol agents outside of a hand-selected few, maybe. He'll talk to the governor, not the governor. I don't think Abbott's thrilled by this. I doubt Abbott should be there. Even if he doesn't want him there, you should show up. But, you know, do you really think he's going to sit down with the mayor of El Paso in a quiet room off the side at the hangar? He'll make a couple cheap announcements. He'll hop back on the plane, probably less than 90 minutes. Gone. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show. Your Twitter, your Instagram, all of the other things, a lot of things to get to today. We're going to talk a bit about Idaho, the murders there. Affidavit is out. We know what happened. Some interesting stuff along the way. Mike Lyons, our military analyst, join us at the bottom of the hour. Talk about the ceasefire, pretend ceasefire. Also, is Africa going to be a hotspot this year? A lot of people are worried about the rise of terrorism in Africa. How nasty could that be? Some people are predicting we're going to see some of our embassies and things hit this year. How ugly could that be? We'll talk to them about that. A lot of other things to get to. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Raycon, best earbuds around. You will love these. I wear mine all the time when I'm working out. It's just, I love the comfort level of knowing the earbuds that I have in. A, they're not going to budge no matter what I do. And B, you take that and you couple that with the sound quality. You have the best earbuds around. And to me, the everyday earbuds are all that. You can put them through the ringer. They've got several different sound modes, awareness modes, right? The modes where you can focus. And it's just awesome. And 8 hours of talk time, 32 hours of battery life. These things go and go and go. And I know they go and go and go because my kids steal them from me and they beat them up. And there they are every day working time and time again. Get yours now, about half the price, sometimes a quarter of the price of other premium audio brands that are out there. And you will love these things because you're going to save an extra 15%. BuyRaycon.com/Chad. 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 Chad Benson Show.
Boys, give me a bowl of chili with plenty of peppers.
One Mexican heartburn. Why don't you mugs grow up?
The Chad Benson Show, where independent, a la carte thinkers have a seat at the table and a voice in the dialogue.
I'll have what she's having.
This is Chad Benson.
By the time police had turned to the public for help finding the white Hyundai, Koberger was already on their radar. 5 days after the murders, Koberger changed his license plate from Pennsylvania to Washington. As they removed evidence from the Moscow, Idaho home, investigators now say they'd harvested DNA from an empty leather knife sheath found next to the bodies of Kaylee Gonsalves and Madison Mogan. And as they closed in on Koberger, police say that DNA matched DNA from Koberger's father, which they collected from trash outside the family's Pennsylvania home.
Yeah, the affidavit yesterday, he returned to Idaho to face the reckoning that is coming. It was released, and they had pinged him on several occasions. They realized they could find out he was stalking the home for what seems to be months. Some other weird stuff came out, including the roommate. So remember, four people were killed, but there were six people in the house. Two of them survived, the roommate being one of them.
Investigators say one of the two surviving roommates was woken by a noise and heard Kaylee Gonzalez say something like, "There's someone here." They say she then heard crying from Zana Carnado's room and a male voice saying, "It's okay, I'm going to help you."
Yeah, and apparently she saw a guy that fit his description in a mask. And she went in a room and she locked the door. And she didn't call for 8 hours. What? That is so bizarre. That is so bizarre. I'm going to tell you this. I can sing it for days and days since they've caught this guy. This guy thinks, I'm going to beat this. I'm smarter than everybody. His cockiness, his attitude. He believes, I think, he thinks he's better than all of this.
Homicides are driven by rage, revenge, anger, greed. They're personal, okay? I've never got the sense that whoever committed this crime, it was really driven by some sort of revenge or grievance, you know, like a mass shooter. It's really more where the crime itself is psychologically driven.
And that's what he was, right? He was trying to get his PhD in criminal psychology. This is a guy who was not just fascinated by serial killers. I think his whole thing was he was trying to set up to show everybody how much smarter and better he was than everybody else, that he's smarter than everybody else. And when you listen to people who, when he was a teacher's aide, other college kids, he used to look down upon them. He believed he could get away with this and he was never going to get caught. And I still think he thinks he can beat this. He's going to find out, no. And by the way, the state you just went to, they like putting people to sleep. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet us, text the program. Mike Lyons joins us. We're going to talk about China, North Korea. We're going to talk about a lot of different stuff. He's our military analyst. He's straight ahead. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
It's been almost a year, almost 1 year since Russia invaded Ukraine. Cynical ceasefire mabobber for, I think it was the Orthodox Christmas is going on. I mean, it's just, where are we? That's why when we ask that question of where we are as far as the military, the might, what could potentially happen, we turn to one guy only, our military analyst, retired major in the Army, Mike Lyons. And Mike, happy new year. Thanks so much for coming on. And what's the latest with this bizarre, hey, we're going to have a ceasefire while we train?
Hey, Chad, great to be with you. Happy New Year. Really no ceasefire. Russia's not stopping. They're continuing to reinforce men and equipment to their front. The Ukraine military is looking to win tactical battles still in that south in the Donbass region. And now, though, reports yesterday are pretty positive about the United States and Germany as well, sending Bradley fighting vehicles to Ukraine. Now, this is a major increase for offensive operations that that the Ukraine government can do. And after doing some research the last few weeks, we've come to find out that what we're doing here is we're going to give Ukraine a few more months and see how much they can attrit this Russian military in place there. And then perhaps in the springtime, they'll flip a switch and look to send more offensive weapons, kind of like the Bradley. The Bradley's kind of a tweener. It's not necessarily something that is a deal changer for Ukraine yet. The M1 tank would, the Abrams tank would, but not the Bradley fighting vehicle. But anyway, the war goes on, and Russia still is stuck in place, and Ukraine's still looking for that one tactical victory to likely get the Russians to do something different, but they haven't changed.
Hey, earlier this week, what was it, that HIMARS thing? Explain that, where they hit those barracks and killed who knows how many Russians, could be 60, could be 100 and something. How does that work?
So they use geo-tagging with all the Russian soldiers on their phones. They haven't really learned any OPSEC here from what's going on in the field. The Russians have not been a learning military, and we see that really every day. They make the same mistakes over and over again. And they were able to geotag and figure out that there was a high concentration of people there. And you take the HIMARS system, which is highly accurate, and that's the key to modern warfare artillery, is the accuracy of it. In the past, it was more of an area fire weapon where you try to disrupt, you know, 4 or 5 square miles. Now, these kinds of artillery weapons can drop rounds in very specific areas. And then there were secondary and tertiary explosions because they had these soldiers next to ammunition dumps and the like. So it was kind of the perfect target. But you combine the good intel with the responsiveness of being able to, you know, get the target, get the rounds on time to the target, and you get that kind of result. I mean, I think that if there's one thing that Ukraine should be looking to do, is to get large formations of Russians to surrender. I think that's, and in this instance, for example, when you kill 60 or 100 of them at a time there, it's going to get the Russians thinking differently about their positions and locations.
Yeah, didn't they set up a hotline, Mike? Yeah, we're talking Mike Lyons, military analyst. They set up a hotline, right? Like an 800 number you could call in and surrender. And it's bizarre.
Right. And I think the way Ukraine can win this is if they can figure out a way to truly threaten Crimea, right? Right now, they don't have that leverage. So let's get back tactically, right? So why the hotline, right? So you take the troops that are in the southern region there that are protecting Crimea, that are along that salient in the south along the Sea of Azov there. If you could figure out a way tactically to split them in a couple of different ways, first geographically on the ground there, and then get large numbers, 10, 15,000 of them to surrender, it opens up a wide path for Ukraine military to go and threaten Crimea. And I think that's the only leverage that they could possibly exert over Russia to get Russia to make their changes and make their behavior different. So I think that is one of the things that's happening every day in Ukraine to try to get them. I also check the weather every day. It's you know, you check the weather in Kyiv, you check the weather in the oblasts down there. It's still very cold, very rough conditions. And right now Ukraine remains to be more creative with what they're doing.
Talking to Mike Lyons, military analyst, we talk about what's going on in Russia. The Russians need, you know, the Allies are giving obviously a bunch of stuff to you know, Ukraine. The Russians are getting stuff from Iran and North Korea. Is that about it?
That's it. But they still are selling their oil to, you know, 3 or 4 billion people throughout India and throughout China and these other locations. I mean, so that's why the economic sanctions really haven't worked in the last 10 months. That's probably been the biggest failure from the West, that there's been no economic statecraft or lever that's been pulled that's allowed them to change their behavior. You looked at their budgets, actually, the Russian budget for their military came out in a report the last couple of weeks that they're only about 1 or 2% off of what they spent last year. So they continue to be funded. But they're now starting to also bring equipment. Talking to another analyst about this, they're starting to bring equipment from the other side of the Ural Mountains. Russia doesn't, you know, sunset or mothball, you know, put things out to pasture for very long. They use everything. So they're starting to bring equipment back that's probably 30, 40, 50 years old in some ways. So they're going to do whatever they can to throw what they can at the Ukraine military. The question is how they're going to get it to the front.
You know, you talk about the financial side, and we'll get to that. But, you know, you talk about India. I heard their ambassador the other day, and I thought, you know, that makes sense. He's like, look, we got 5 billion people. We're going to overtake the Chinese. We, you know, the West problems are the West problems. And if they're not figuring out a way to help us get past this, we got to do what's right for our country and our people. And that makes sense.
Yeah, from with one of the greatest foreign policy failures on our side is not our ability to marshal the Indian people. We know are resourceful. I mean, look, Indian people that come to the United States, we know that they generally, resourceful people from their culture's perspective, and a billion of them. But the problem is the United States has been so focused on Pakistan, which is a mortal enemy of India, and we seem to make them the advantage, and just because of a few nuclear rounds they have. And well, India's got the same nuclear capability as well. So if you had to try to have a dream team on foreign policy, you'd figure out a way to have a better relationship with India, and figure out a better way to make sure that they're not aligned with Russia and China and that other part of the world, because it really splits, they're the differentiator between splitting the world into two separate poles right now.
Talking to Mike Lyons, military analyst, what's going on in, D.C. is very interesting. Obviously, we're at the, we're the 55,000th vote trying to get a Speaker of the House. But the reality is how is this going to affect, once they eventually come up with somebody and that person's in place, what's going to happen potentially moving forward when it comes to funding all of this money that is going to Ukraine? You and I have joked about it. If you want to put money somewhere investment-wise, put it with the military-industrial complex, find out who's producing these things. How's that going to affect everything going forward?
Well, I still think we've gotten expelled a lot. We've gone through so many war stocks already in our country. So, still by Raytheon, still by Lockheed, still by the missile companies that are going to continue to have to produce this. I read a report that we now are like 13 years into our stocks for surface-to-air missiles, for example, Stingers and the like, and the Javelins. And so I think that's still going to, be a great business opportunity for people that want to do that. But money going specifically to Ukraine, this administration has already put so much to it. I mean, it's five times. We've written them a blank check for five times what their annual budget is already for what they spend in their military. They spend about $20 billion. The earmarks are over $100 billion right now for Ukraine. So they've got a kind of a ways to go. I'm not sure how the Republicans and whoever they would be would shut off that spigot for right now. Because I do believe, again, still in the short term, the purpose of United States giving this aid is to trit the Russian military down to a certain point, and then we'll throw more offensive weapons in, and perhaps then the war will come to an end a lot faster.
Talking to Mike Lyons, military analyst, let's turn over quickly to China. This week, how close did they get to one of our planes? I feel like Xi is pushing a little bit more. He's got a nightmare going on with COVID. This feels a little unsettling.
Yeah, I'm seeing less and less, though, more reports about they're going to keep their powder dry, recognizing that we know that they part of their tactics is to sink a carrier and all the things that are there. But I think you're seeing more or less the concern that the Chinese have of the rest of NATO being involved in that conflict, and what that would mean should the United States be attacked with an attack on Taiwan. So I don't think you're going to see anything this year necessarily. I don't usually make these kind of predictions, but just based on the military movements that we've seen in the Pacific right now, the fact that we have more resources there than we've had before. I mean, we're looking to have two carriers there now at this point. And it doesn't appear that the Taiwan situation is going to change this year. Now that could be a change. More people predict more the end of this decade when it kind of happens, but everybody gets older then and the world changes. So we have to see. But I think the situation there from a military perspective is the U.S. Navy is doing a great job deterring the situation on the ground right now.
Last question. Appreciate you coming on today. As always, Mike Lyons, our military analyst. One thing we haven't talked a lot about, because with everything else going on, a little sideways here, a little sideways there, obviously, is terrorism. And I have read a lot. I have seen a lot of my favorite pundits and people talk about this, that Africa is becoming more and more a hotbed of terrorism than I think people realize, and that a lot of people expect there to be some nastiness and potential targets and terrorist attack against us and our allies and embassies and things throughout that region. I mean, it's scary because it's kind of got, again, put on the back burner. Terrorism, we don't think of about it, like we used to. But Africa has been a place where a lot of people go and hide, train, and you're seeing a huge rise in Islamic militantism throughout the entire region.
That's a great point. I know talking to Special Forces guys, they still are focused extremely in their training and a lot of things going on in Africa, in the Maghreb areas there. It's still a great portion of Africa's desert, difficult logistically to support. That's a good example of where we use our financial leverage to cut off ways to fund them, because it does take a lot more logistics in order to keep those operations going in the deserts of Africa. But there is concern. There is no question that if you take your eye off one thing, especially everybody's focused on Ukraine, that could happen. I think that there's enough of an infrastructure that's built up now in the U.S., especially with the special operators and the command and what's happening there. We've got still enough eyes on there using technology, using satellite technology. I think, you know, you and I remember those days when we used to see all the guys running around on monkey bars with AK-47s, and we just said, "Boy, I wonder what they're going to do," you know. But I think those days are over, in that we're still striking terrorist camps inside of Syria. We still are striking these places. So I think when they come up, they get kind of taken out in the middle of the night. And I've been assured by people that we're still slitting throats in the middle of the night in places like that. So I'm confident that we're keeping an eye on it.
That's a good thing. And I know people say that sounds horrible. Trust us. And I'm sure you know this better than anything, Mike. There's a lot of things that are going on in places around the world that we don't know about, but we sleep at night with a smile on our face and safety because some people are doing, as you say, slitting some throats in parts of the world and taking care of business for people that would love to destroy our way of life.
That's exactly right. And it's no other. It's the reality of the situation. And it's exactly right. And I don't know what else to say about it, but we get to sleep and we get to, that's the blanket of the freedom that we have here in our great country.
Absolutely. Mike Lyons, it's always good to have you. Have a good one. Go Islanders, and I'll talk to you soon, brother.
Thanks, Chad. Talk soon. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Mike Lyons, military analyst right there. The India thing is very interesting. We might touch on a little bit later. Just the fact that I get what they're saying, man. It's your country. But they're buying all that oil from, and that's helping fund all that stuff that's going on in Russia. At the same time, what have we done? Have we told them, look, we're going to pump as much oil as we can. We're going to give it to you at cost. Hell, the government will even lose some money to make sure that you're saying no to them. If we're not doing that, we're not building those relationships. That's on us, isn't it? I think so. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us. Text the program. Rough Greens, RUFFGreens.com/Chad. My wife said to me last night, you know, I didn't think Doodle was going to last this long. And I started laughing. I said, you know what? You worry about a dog when they stop eating. And Doodle does not stop eating. He's energetic. She goes, I've never seen him. He's crazy. He runs all over the house all the time, even though he doesn't see very well anymore. My old dog is living his best life thanks to Rough Greens. Vitamins, minerals, probiotics, omega 369. It's hilarious to see. Sprinkle it on top of his food. So last night, the kids fed him. And so they put the food in the bowl. And he looks at them like, well, oh, and they're like, oh, so they take the powder out, which is the Rough Greens, and sprinkle it on top. It's hilarious. He scoops it up. He eats it. It is fantastic. Energy, so much better. His skin, so much better. Digestive tract, so much better. And most importantly for me, no more aches and pains like he had before. Try Rough Greens right now for free. All you have to do is cover the cost of shipping. RUFFGreens.com/Chad. RoughGreens.com/Chad. RoughGreens.com/Chad. Chad Benson Show.
Deep states? No. Deep doo-doo? Yeah. The Chad Benson Show.
Avatar: The Way of Water is now the 10th highest grossing film of all time. It just crossed the $1.5 billion global earnings mark and will likely unseat 2012's The Avengers in the number 9 spot before the weekend's done.
Let's get it done.
It's also shot down Top Gun Maverick to become 2022's highest grossing global release. The Way of Water will have to double that $1.5 billion to replace 2009's Avatar as the top grossing film of all time.
Yeah, no challengers again this week. I don't even know when the next big challenger is coming. Now, this weekend should be good, and I'm going to go see it tonight, I think. I haven't been to a movie. So if you guys listen to the show regularly, you know, for a while, you know, I used to go see a movie on Thursday night, whatever's opening, and I did that forever and a day. But then COVID hit. I stopped seeing movies. My daughter got a little bit older. She likes to go to movies now, but we're not going to take her to see this, although that would be solid parenting, because Megan opens today. And if you've not seen the trailer for Megan, in a word, it's a Blumhouse movie, I believe, with a girl whose parents are killed. She goes to live with her aunt, who's like a computer programmer slash, you know, whatever. And she's the big company she's worked for. They've come up with this doll that's like, you know, 10 years old, and it's going to be her best friend. And it goes sideways. It's like AI gone sideways. And the trailer is disturbing when the little doll dances. So that is going to do well this weekend. But, you know, this, what are you going to do? Right? I mean, at the end of the day, what are you going to do if you're a movie right now? Because you want to stay as far away. You want to let the waves of Avatar, which I have zero desire to see the movie, but you want to let the waves of Avatar settle down before you throw anything big out there. But I will see Megan tonight, because it's a bit spooky and creepy. And I like that. 323-538-2423. At Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us. Text the program. Love hearing from every single one of you. Check out the podcast if you're missing the show. It is The Chad Benson Show.
This is The Chad Benson Show. Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
No speaker as of yet. You know, these people love notoriety. They're all, you know, first of all, they're all self-aggrandizing. Every one of them. Right now, the Democrats have wandered out onto the steps of the Capitol, and they're holding a big, you know, a big remembrance of what took place 2 years ago today kind of thing. And it is, it's like, it's not about the people that were there, right? It's not about that. It's not about, it's about, look at me. Look at me. There were some frightening moments, I'm sure, for some of them, but the reality is, at the end of the day, is probably, wow, this is just another feather in my cap, another opportunity to get on television. And, you know, Anthony and I were talking along with Richard Phil earlier, because somebody brought this up early this morning, and that I was talking to one of the local people here because he was asking me about this. And I said, if there was no notoriety, there was no cameras, if there was no opportunity to see any of these people fight against Kevin McCarthy or any of this kind of stuff, I can guarantee you this stuff wouldn't go on. But as long as the beast continues to get fed, it continues to grow strong. And that's, you know, there. What is that? I think it's an old saying. It's, you know, depending on where you are in the world, it is, you know, it stayed the same. But, you know, it's like it's a Native American thing. And then you go over there and, you know, the Italians and Greeks have talked about it for. See, but and I think it's apropos in this. It's, you know, they talk about there are two wolves fighting inside of you. Right. Doing battle, and one of them's courage and the other one is fear, or what, you know, pick whatever you want. And which one wins? The one you feed the most. It's the same thing here. One is fame and popularity, and the other is just doing your job. Which one do you want more is the one that's going to grow. Well, these people, I always think, choose fame and popularity over everything else. And that's a sad thing, but that's the reality of it. So onward and upward we go. Yesterday, affidavit released from Idaho about that horrific killer, alleged killer, and it is interesting.
This is a really powerful affidavit. The way they're able to link the car and the phone back to Koberger, back to his house, to the crime scene, and then returning to his house later is really astonishing. And then on top of that, you have a very powerful piece of DNA evidence from the scene linked back to him. You read through this and you see the police work. Mm-hmm. You see how they went through all the surveillance videos. You see how they were able to piece this together and then finally make the arrest.
Yeah, and they made the arrest, of course, over the holidays. They have brought him an extradition. He wanted a speedy extradition, from what I understand, to back to Idaho. And a lot of people are saying it's because he wants to find out what evidence they have on him. And the question is, he pled, you know, not guilty yesterday to these things. And, you know, somebody's going to have to defend him.
They're going to attack isolated piece of evidence, right? They'll say you can't rely on cell phone evidence. It goes from tower to tower. They'll say that the car, initially they said it was could be from 2011 to 2013, a Hyundai Elantra. Now they expanded it. Oh, it's 2015. They'll attack the DNA evidence, etc. So what prosecutors will do is they'll try and put it all together the way I just talked about. The defense attorneys will attack individual pieces of evidence.
Yeah, yeah. And that's going to be very interesting. Like, how do you attack the DNA? So I believe this guy wanted to, I think he thinks he's better and smarter than everybody else, that he feels that he's got this opportunity to show the world all these things that he can do and how much brighter he is than everyone else. And this is what's taking place. And you guys are going to try to figure out how I'm going to get away with this. I'm going to show you how I'm going to get away with this. And it's, He's again, the DNA evidence is so powerful.
He left his DNA there. He drove around way too much. I mean, he's been spotted there over 12 times in up to November 13th. Those are things that a seasoned criminal wouldn't do. So, yes, did he know enough to turn his cell phone off? Of course. But he made big mistakes.
Yeah. He made big mistakes. Big mistakes indeed. And just a horrific scene. You know, the more you found out about it, and there was some bizarre situations too that included the fact that one of the girls in the house, of the two girls that survived who weren't attacked, she saw him. He was in a mask, apparently, exiting, but she also heard voices. She never called the police. That is interesting. But that DNA evidence is, again, it's a, how do you get around that? Did you know these people? No. Like, if you knew these people, if you were friends with these people, well, then, you know, yeah, maybe there's some DNA because you're hanging out at their house. But by all accounts, you knew none of these people because he thinks he's smarter than everybody else. You can tell by the look on his face. You could tell by his smugness. You can tell just that he feels he's that much smarter and he's going to outsmart everybody there. Because he thinks he knows what's absolutely best about everything because he's been studying these people for years. Not these people, serial killers, right? Criminal psychology. He is this was his ultimate game. I think he thinks in his mind he could have been like a Hannibal Lecter type of person where I am so much smarter than everybody else, but I'm going to show you how to get away with it. I'm going to show you this is how you get away with this. This is how you get away with all of these things. That's what I'm going to show you guys. You watch. You watch. Well, you got caught. You got caught. You made mistakes. And they were on you in a much different and quicker way than we realized.
It tells you that he's building up to do it. He's doing surveillance to decide who's in the house, when they're in the house. This is a guy that planned this murder. I think that's probably fantasy driven for months until he finally got up enough nerve on November 13th to do it.
And he talks about fantasy driven because he stalked the house, not the kids in the house. From what everybody said, he was stalking the house. And at times when he stalked it earlier on, they hadn't even moved into the house yet. So the fantasy driven side of it is because I think he believes he's just that much brighter than everybody else. Smarter than the average bear. You can't stop him. Look at all the stuff. He knows more and better than all of you. So what do you say to those, those apples? Well, looks like you got caught. And Idaho will put you to sleep. And those parents, I saw the parent, Steve Gonzalez there. I just, you look at him and couldn't even imagine the hate you must have, right? He talked about, he's going to be there every day.
I have to do it because if we're not there, it makes it easier for this defendant. And I want to make it as hard as possible.
Yeah. He wanted him to look him in the eyes.
And I've always said that your eyes are the entry point to your soul. And I want to look into his soul and see what's there.
Well, I don't know. From the pictures I've seen and we've, Prince Reville and I talked about it the other day, man. I tell you what, you look into his eyes, as soulless as get. If you remember the Jaws, the great speech, Quint gives about, the Indianapolis and talks about, when a shark bites you, his eyes roll over black like a doll's eyes, black eyes. Soul, that's kind of when I'd see this guy. It's like, that's what you see, soulless, lifeless. And then he's got that grin, just 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show. Your Twitter, your Instagram, all of the other things. Check us out across all the social medias. We appreciate it when you do. Raycon, best earbuds around this weekend. Play a little golf, play some pickleball. Gonna have my Raycons with me. I love to wear my Raycons because they just don't budge. The sound quality is awesome. Keep up with all the stuff I'm listening to, which a lot of times, I'll be, going out and I'm listening to a podcast. A lot of times I'm going out and I'm listening to a game, it's just fantastic. And it's great too, because the distance I could be away from the phone is amazing, especially when I play golf and I'm not near the green and I'm walking up to the green. It's just great. The sound quality is amazing. Isolation mode, because as I tell you, I like to hear myself hit the ball. It's truly awesome. About half to a quarter of the price of the other quote-unquote premium audio brands that are out there, you'll find nothing as good as Raycons. Great color, great style, the best fit, the best sound quality. 15% off right now. Go to buyraycon.com/chad. 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 Chad Benson Show.
Running with scissors sounds great compared to this.
Say what?
Now it's time to find out
what's trending. What's trending?
Einstein, James Dean, Davy Crockett, Peter Pan, Elvis Presley, Disneyland, Princess Grace, Peggy Grace, Chopper in the Suez.
Norway, Oman, Pakistan, Qatar, Russia, Suriname.
Leonhead, Brassnap, Lenny, Bush, and Lester Banks, birthday party, cheesecake, jelly bean, boom.
What's trending? Let's find out what's trending. One of the big trenders right now on Google. French Montana. At least 10 people injured in Miami Gardens shooting during a French Montana video. No idea who French Montana is. Idaho murders number one trending thing yesterday. Suspect in court. Obviously, we're just talking about that. Megan is trending. So that is a new movie that opens today. I was telling the guys earlier they've not seen the trailer for it. If you talk about Chucky being a creepy doll, right? Even Annabelle. This doll's creepy to the, like, it's AI, it's creepy. Because you're thinking to yourself, well, we're getting towards AI, right? This isn't about a possession. This is about a doll that could, that is a robot. It's creepy. big time. Prince Harry claiming in his memoir that he lost his virginity to a woman who spanked his butt, or he spanked her butt, but also that him and his brother got into a squabble. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. Head on over to Twitter. Number one trending thing, Capitol. Of course, January 6th today, the Democrats are out there with their chance to take a picture, right? You know, get all that stuff going. Look that. Top of that, you got Kevin McCarthy trending today. Gianluca Vialli, one of the great soccer players of all time, only 58, died today of pancreatic cancer, is trending as well. More on the shooting of old French Montana. Not him, but whatever happened there. I do not know what happened there. I was not invited to there. But it sounds like it was bad. But it doesn't say that the people were shot. Injuries. I'm sure people fleeing probably was big. Megan is also trending on the magical world of Twitter as well. Oh, my Lord. This is crazy. It is. You know what else is trending? Something that I find to be very exciting. Kids, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends of all ages, this weekend, tonight, I believe it is, go get your ticket.
Tonight's Mega Millions jackpot soaring to $940 million. It's the sixth largest lottery jackpot in U.S. history. No one has matched all six numbers plus the Mega Ball since October.
Don't forget your odds of winning any Mega Millions prize. It's 1 in 24, but your chances for the jackpot are 1 in 302.6 million.
There's a chance is all I need to know. It's about 500 by the time, I bet it'll be a billion. And by the time everything's said and done, you're looking at $500 million cash payout.
Number one, only tell your closest loved one.
Are you sure? Do you ever think about that? If you win. So let's spit. We love to spitball here when we do this stuff. So you say, so you win. Like, I'm going to win, but let's just say, you know, you go and you win. Who's that first call to? Your husband, your wife, but that's a given. Who's the second call to? That's important. That is interesting. Who's that second call to? Like, what? I'm not calling Charlie. She's 4 and a half. She wouldn't understand. But who's that second call to? Financial people. Attorney, probably. For me, I know exactly I'd call. I'd call my attorney here, my buddy Barry. And I'd say, all right, we need to figure this out, Barry. What exactly, how's this work? And get Barry, you know, somebody, you know, that's got to be the second call. But that first loved one's obviously going to be your you know, your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, maybe. Well, it depends, right? Like maybe it's time for a new girlfriend, a new boyfriend.
Don't post it on social media. You want to be able to maintain your privacy to the best of your ability.
Number two, assemble your billion-dollar Avengers.
An attorney, an accountant, a financial professional, potentially even a charitable planning professional, as well as even a media expert.
And three.
Whoa, a media expert. Isn't that crazy? Hey, we haven't got through the part of me celebrating, and you know, the attorney I see, like obviously financial side, but the media expert, jeez.
And three, you'll have to decide whether to take the lump sum or the annuity.
You're going to get that lump sum. You're going to be able to invest it the way you want.
You can buy Mega Millions tickets up to 15 minutes before each scheduled drawing. Tonight's drawing is at 11 p.m., so the last time to buy a ticket would be 10:45 Eastern.
Don't even bother doing it. I already won. Just letting you guys know. 323-538-2423. At Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us, text the program. Ed Norton's grandmother, we know who she is, but it's great grandmother. We'll talk about that. Some immigration stuff as well. It's Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
Biden's coming to the border. Guess who else is coming to the border? Harris. Yeah, coming to the border. You know she's going to fix the border. It's a nightmare. It's a hot mess. It's not going to get any better anytime soon. We know that partly because Congress isn't doing what Congress needs to do and hasn't done for a long time. All of them have had opportunities to do everything from codify Roe v. Wade, to fix the tax system, to have meaningful, actual legislation passed when it comes to immigration. But they're not going to do that because why would they do that? The money's in the mess. They know that. They blame everything on everybody else.
When it comes to immigration, it seems like it's a better issue for them than trying to solve it. Look, we need more resources to secure the border. Yet again, extreme Republicans have said no. Many Republicans agree we should do something. But it's time to stop listening to their inflammatory talk. It's time to look at their record.
Yeah. Well, that goes on the other side. That goes for Democrats. Because, and this is where, look, a pathway to citizenship for Dreamers. Okay, that's a give. Closing the border. That's a give. But both sides want to have it their way or no way. And that's the frustrating part. And we should all be pissed because nothing, I think, is going to get done anytime soon. Brandon Judd earlier today, he's the guy that's kind of spokesperson, head of their the union, talking about why this new thing with the app and that he wants people. So Biden's got this. Oh, it's a brand new app. Just in the app store. And just go and you download the app and then you can do everything right there. And then you can eventually... We'll decide if you can come here. And when you come here, you've got to have an appointment. It's just ridiculous. It's not going to happen anytime soon.
One thing that could be a game changer. The only problem is it's going to take months, if not a year, before it can even be implemented if it's not shot down by the courts. The rule that DHS is going to put in place that will require people to claim asylum in the first safe third country that they come to.
Which is the rule that should always be in place. And we do it in a very weird way where we just allow you to come here, apply for asylum here, and then get released here.
That could be a game changer. The only problem with that is that they have to promulgate that rule first. They have to wait 60 days to get public comment from it. Then once they get the public comment from it, then they have to go by, they have to go through and they have to review all the public comments to see if there are any valid points in there. Then they have to make sure that it is going to stand the test of the court system, which we know darn good and well that the ACLU is going to file a lawsuit against it. So, look, the chances that gets implemented anytime soon is not going to happen. So that's the only game changer. The vast majority of what they put out is just repackaging their original six pillars.
And those things didn't work. Nothing's going to change. Nothing. So the way this would work is you download your app in the country that you're in, Venezuela, Nicaragua, Cuba, Haiti. These are the four countries that he's targeting here on this. And they'll then take into account what you're saying. And then eventually, they'll decide if you can or can't have an appointment at the border. You show up at the border with your appointment and they're going to allow 30,000 people a month in. What they call parole status, which means they're allowed to legally, it's almost like being a resident, because they're going to be allowed legally to work here as well. I think what you're going to find is, if you're willing to put yourself through the most harrowing journey in the world, an app that you don't have an appointment with somebody isn't going to stop you from trying to get in this country. It's just not. It is not going to stop you. That's where we are. He's going to be, I'm thinking maybe 90 minutes, maybe 90 minutes, maybe in El Paso on Sunday. And I doubt there's anything meaningful that comes from it outside of a photo shoot, if you will, 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter, tweet, text. Love hearing from all of you. We've been talking about DNA all day because they got that SOB in Idaho. With DNA. Now's a show about DNA. Who you're related to. Ed Norton, the actor. Glass Onion. Many other things. American History X. Brilliant movie. Best movie. He's got a great grandma you might have heard of.
Pocahontas is indeed your 12th great-grandma.
Oh, my God.
I understand that was family lore. Well, it is absolutely true.
How could you possibly determine that?
Through the paper trail.
It would have been documented, the paper trail of their children.
Of course.
This is about as far back as you can go.
It's as far back as you can go.
That's it, unless you're a Viking.
Yeah, that's right.
It just makes you realize what a small, you know, piece of the whole human story you are.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I have done, because I think everybody wants to know, do I have somebody famous? So I didn't do it myself. My son got me a, he wanted to find out the family. You know, he's young, and so his mom got us one of those things. So we did one of those DNA tests. Well, then we found out, I do not have Pocahontas in my family. Do not. I do have somebody else in my family, though. His name is Charlemagne. Or Charles the Great, or basically the person who brought about what we would consider modern day Europe and brought it together. So, boom, baby! Charlemagne. He's my grandfather. Pretty awesome. I wonder if I have if I can sit on the throne. Is there still a throne in France? Oh, no, we gave that away a long time ago.
The 1850 census for North Carolina revealed that his third great-grandfather, a man named John Winstead, held seven human beings in bondage.
A 55-year-old man, a 37-year-old woman, and five girls, 10, 9, 8, 6, and 4.
That's right. And he owned them.
These things are uncomfortable, and you should be uncomfortable with them. Like, everybody should be uncomfortable with it. It's not a judgment on you and your own life, but it's a judgment on the history of this country.
Absolutely.
And it needs to be acknowledged first and foremost, and then it needs to be contended with.
Absolutely.
Well, it needs to be acknowledged. We know what the black eye of America is. Absolutely. As is many other nations, including parts of Africa, great parts of Africa, South America, here, Mexico, I mean, you name it. There's not a place on this planet where somebody hasn't owned somebody else. Somebody has, because human nature's dominance over another is massive. The difference is we have this bizarre thing here where we need to absolutely talk about how awful, and there is zero redeeming qualities at all. Zero. None. Period. Case closed. That's it. Nothing. Nothing else. This is it. This is it right here. This is the only thing that matters.
And these girls are slaves, you know, right. Born into slavery. It's just like, you know.
And born into slavery and in slavery in perpetuity.
Yeah. You know, it's again, when you read slave age 8, you just want to die.
Yeah, but that wasn't you, Ed. It wasn't, you know. It's like they always talk about reparations and all that stuff. I'm like, remember when they did this with Obama and, you know, his family both were slaves and they both owned slaves. You're like, what? What do you do? How do you know? Human nature is human nature, and it's horrible. I mean, the reality is when you see like this guy who killed these four kids, there is something in human beings that hasn't changed. Isn't there still slavery going on to this day? To this day, I think people would be surprised. It's awful. It's horrible. You know, look, Charlemagne the God. I'm sure he didn't treat. I mean, Charlemagne the God. He always talks. You know, his name is Charlemagne, but Charlemagne the Charlemagne. I'm sure he wasn't great to people. You know, back in those days, you had to rule with an iron fist as much as you could, you know, you could, because everybody wanted to get a piece of you and what you had. Should I feel bad about that? No. A, I don't know him, and B, I don't get any of the spoils from it. Then maybe I would. Oh, it's not very nice yet. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us, text the program. Still checking. Nobody has made it to the speaker yet. Who wants a little bacon?
I don't believe Kevin McCarthy will back down. We'll do this for days. We'll do this for weeks. It could go months. But we can't back down to 20 people who are holding the rest of the House captive or hostage.
Who don't like little Don Bacon right there? Dan Crenshaw.
Some people have different priorities. Some people want to cut spending. Some people want to fix our mandatory spending problems. Some of us want to fix the border, deal with the Mexican drug cartels that are murdering tens of thousands of Americans a year by poisoning them with fentanyl. There's a lot of missions that we have up here. I don't think that the American people care about any of these so-called missions happening this week. Rules changes, who gets more power, who gets on what committee. I can't think of one American who gives a damn about any of that.
Yeah, very true, very true. We need to pay more attention, but this is just becoming a clown show. A lot of people realize that. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show, Twitter. Coming up, we're going to talk about the injured football player, cornerback Hamlin, who is currently alive, awake, doing his thing. We're going to talk about that straight ahead. Rough Greens, RUFFGreens.com/Chad. Go to Rough Greens right now. Get a free bag of Rough Greens. It's on me. Well, actually, it's on Dennis Black, the doctor, the good doctor, naturopathic doctor, who's put this together, formulated this amazing supplement that goes on top of your dog's food, and it brings your dog's food to life with vitamins, minerals, probiotics, omega 369. It has helped my older dog tremendously. But as much as I talk about him, I've got two younger dogs, and we started them off right. Their energy, they're happy. You know what's great? We don't take them to the vet. They never go to the vet outside of going and getting maybe, you know, groomed or whatever. They are just bouncy and healthy. And when we take them in, they always talked about how great their teeth is. And it's awesome. Right now, try it for yourself for free. Give it to your dog. Don't change a thing. All you have to do, all they ask you to do, is cover the cost of shipping. It's that simple. RUFFGreens.com/Chad. 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 It is the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show, where we reach across the aisle and occasionally poke someone in the eye.
Here's some NFL picks. Final weekend of the NFL this weekend. And it is, you know, the week started out in a, you know, here it is. You're heading into those super exciting parts of the NFL where, you know, it's put up or shut up time, you know, jockeying for position. Who's going to win this? Who's going to win that? Monday night, biggest game of the year, arguably. Two of the favorites to go to the Super Bowl. Super Bowl runner-ups, Bengals at home, a chance to pull even with the Bills. The Bills may be the odds-on favorite to get to the Super Bowl this year, a chance to take home field advantage for all the playoffs, and, you know, within 9 minutes, that whole game, boom, done, over. They're not going to replay it. You know, Hamlin's injury changed everything. Boom, we're done. My God, this guy, what's going to happen? The whole nine yards. We flash forward now. Yesterday, the doctors, shocked, excited, good news.
We would like to share that there has been substantial improvement in his condition over the past 24 hours. We had significant concern about him after the injury and after the event that happened on the field, but he is making substantial progress.
Substantial progress indeed. There is no damage to his function neurologically, which is huge. He woke up, started moving around. And remember, they're bringing him out slowly. They said there's doesn't seem to be any damage whatsoever neurologically, which is fantastic. His body's, you know, his arms in the whole nine yards. What did he do?
We were in the situation where we wanted to allow him to gradually, you know, wake up as the rest of his body was healing, last night he was able to emerge and follow commands and even ask who had won the game.
Yes, you won the game, and you won the country's heart. So good news there, but there's games to be played this weekend, and, you know, for some of these teams that were there, it's going to be tough. But I found this interesting. So this right here is Zach Taylor talking about Sean McDermott, who's the coach of the Buffalo Bills. And I love what he says here in this piece about just him as a person.
I won't disclose any of the private conversations Sean and I had except for this. When I got over there, the first thing he said was, I need to be at the hospital tomorrow, and I shouldn't be coaching this game. And so that, to me, provides all the clarity, because there was no unprecedented is the word that gets thrown out a lot about this situation, because that's what it is. But in that moment, he really showed who he was, that all his focus was just on DeMar and being there for him, being there for his family at the hospital.
Yeah, shows a lot. And that's what you want your coach. And you know what? That goes a long way. Makes people want to play for you. That you see this is not just a game and what we do in our careers kind of thing, but it shows me you care about me as a person. And that is amazing. Games will be played this weekend. They're not going to replay that game. I don't know what happens. They're trying to figure out the way it works. They originally thought we could push it back a week and they could play. They're not going to do that. They're just going to keep everything. These two teams will have one last game. It's going to go on percentages. We'll figure it out, like they say, over time. I've heard everything thrown out from there'll be a neutral AFC championship game site to we'll see. So this weekend, Chiefs-Raiders, that game, I've got the Chiefs winning. Titans-Jaguars, maybe the most interesting game. That takes place tomorrow. Win and you're in. And the Jags, I've got you guys winning tomorrow and in the playoffs after a debacle of a season last year. Steelers-Browns, go with Steelers. Ravens-Bengals, I think the Bengals get this one. Bears-Vikings, go with the Vikings. Bills-Patriots, Bills win that game. Jets-Dolphins, take the Dolphins on that one. Bucks-Falcons, Bucks are already in. I have a feeling they're going to win that game, get over 500. Panthers-Saints, go with the Panthers. Colts-Texans, who really cares? If you have to, go with the Colts on that one, I guess, if you have to. 49ers-Cardinals, go with the Niners. I think the Cowboys get by the Commanders. I think the Seahawks beat the Rams. The Eagles-Giants, Giants get that game because I do believe, and this is just me, the Eagles aren't really going to play anybody. They've already, you know, I have a feeling by the time that game comes around, they're going to feel like they've got this thing. Chargers, Broncos, go with the Chargers. And the game of the night, Lions, Packers. Winning in for me, the Pack gets it done. What a hell of a year for the Lions, though, playing the way they did. They started, was 1-6? And they are in a position where they might make the playoffs. Be a fun weekend for sure. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us, text the program. You know I love hearing from all of you guys. Oh, baby, you know I do. Follow along across all the social media. We're starting to do more and more. We're going to continue to do that. So check us out on Facebook. Grab the podcast wherever it's available. It's Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show. Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
Happy, happy Friday. Still have no government rocking and rolling the way it's supposed to. A third of our government is not working at this moment in time. The reason is simple. McCarthy is not going anywhere at all. Rep Don Bacon. Hey, kids, who doesn't love bacon?
I don't believe Kevin McCarthy will back down. We'll do this for days. We'll do this for weeks. It could go months. But we can't back down to 20 people who are holding the rest of the House captive or hostage.
Yeah, true. True, Don. Again, love bacon. The reality is simply, this is what it is. It is a power play. These 20 people, and are they all bad? No. Do they make some good points? Yeah. I mean, you know, we passed an omnibus bill. $1.7 trillion omnibus bill while we were all on vacation. Nobody paid attention to it. It was rubber stamped.
Yeah, you think about it, $1.7 trillion, $800 billion here, this year. We spend money like we literally are printing it ourselves. Like those guys and gals that are there, like, go in the other room and turn on the press. That's how they do it. We need to have debates. We need to be more open and transparent. We've got away from that. We've been talking about it for weeks and months and months and years on the show. It has been a rubber stamp. The speaker, it has become a corporation. And the lines are no longer even blurry. They just meld into one another with the R's and the D's. And the corporation is, let's spend the hell out of as much money as possible. Let's get ours, right? And go from there. And there's no debate. There's no health. We need more of that on the floor. Some of the things they have out there are good. The problem is their plans are no plans. It's just to obstruct. I don't think Kevin's going to back down at all. I don't think he should. I don't think he should. It's a bizarre situation because I'm not a big fan of Kevin McCarthy. I'm not a big fan of any of these people because you shouldn't be a fan of them. You can respect some of them. Some of them don't deserve your respect. But the reality is, this week has been wacky. 1840 now. So remember when we started this process, 1923 was the last time we had an issue where we didn't have a speaker on the first vote. We're now to 1840.
Democrats chanted their House leader's name like it was a football game. A Republican representative, Kat Kamick, made accusations that had Democrats saying, what?
They want us to fight each other. That much has been made clear by the popcorn and blankets and alcohol that is coming over there. The House is not in order.
Vote after vote ended with the same words.
A speaker has not been elected.
The House is not in order.
No, it's not in order. It's been in order the way that whoever's holding that gavel has wanted it. But we need more transparency. So not everything they're doing is bad, but the reality is you got to have a plan. And I don't see a plan from anybody. What's the old saying, right? If you don't have a plan, plan to fail. That's the way this is. They argue like my daughter does at times because she's 4.5. And I tell you what, some of her other arguments are better than theirs. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us. Join the program. Hope all is well with you. The frustration levels to the roof. We're going to touch more on this. Biden is going to the border. We talked about it. We know where and when.
I will visit the border myself this Sunday in El Paso to assess border enforcement operations, meet with the local officials and community leaders, and the folks at the border sending me what they need that they don't have. And make it public what they conclude they need, they don't have, to try to convince my Republican colleagues they should do something.
So we got a peek yesterday at what he's hoping to do. And the reality is, as I heard Brandon Judd, who's the head of like the Border Patrol today, say, it's basically it's the same pillars before. The ACLU, he says, is going to file a lawsuit. This thing is going to take months. He wants four countries, Nicaragua, Venezuela, Cuba and Haitians out there in Haiti who are struggling tremendously. If you know nothing about what's going on in Haiti, I don't even know if it's a country anymore at this point. They have to have an app. You have to download an app. You have to be in your country. You have to apply for asylum. Otherwise, you're turned away. It's a joke. You know it. I know it. I don't think anything's coming out of it. I don't think he's going to talk to anybody real. I would love to see him land in El Paso. This is what I think he's going to do. Land in El Paso. He'll be taking, you know, him and several others over to a hangar. Maybe he meets some city leaders. They have a chat for 45 minutes. Comes out, does a 15, 20-minute, you know, press conference, Q&A thingy. Leaves a couple messages, and then they get on the plane, and they bounce. He's maybe there 90 minutes. This is not, let's go from here to meet some of the non-governmental organizations, the nonprofits. We're not really speaking with border agents. We're not going to probably see a facility. If we do, it's all going to be it's not going to be the real. And we know what they need. And the first thing they all need to do, and this isn't on Joe. He's been horrible at it. And again, it all trickles down, if you will.
This is what you need. Fix the asylum process. For everybody, make it the same. You can't show up at our border and say, I'm claiming asylum because of X, Y, and Z, and we allow you to come in here. You can't do that. Fix the asylum process. You've got immigration, which is one, legal immigration. You've got immigration, asylum, and you've got illegal immigration. The blur is the two, which is the asylum, because we know and they know they're not going to get asylum based on economic strife and hardship. So what ends up happening? They show up, they claim asylum, they disappear into our society. And we have the next wave of dreamers. And now he wants them to use an app?
First, if they're seeking asylum, they can use an app on their cell phone called CBP1ONE. CBP1ONE. That's to spell it out, not the number one. To schedule an appointment at a port of entry.
So yesterday, my trusty producer for my local show, we made him go on. It's been up for a year. Doesn't work yet. It's a joke. Now, through the beauty of it is, if you want to come to America, let the American government show you how long everything takes. So that's what you're supposed to do. I think what this is going to do is going to cause illegal immigration, as we'd call them, the gotaways, to absolutely see this thing explode. Because if you show up, and as I was explaining to somebody yesterday, so wait a minute. I'm leaving Haiti. Hell, strife, you know, an absolute, just a country that is a nightmare. It is barely a functioning nation, and that's on its best days. I've got nothing but desperation, and I got all the desperation you need. I've got desire to get away from here and for something better. And you mean to tell me you're going to show up here and go, oh, you know what? That is my bad. I didn't download the app. I got to go back to Haiti, download the app there. You know what? I'm not even going to think. I'm sorry. I apologize. You're going to go, well, I can't get in that way at this moment in time. I'm going to have to figure something else. By the way, too, on top of the app side of it, you also have to have a sponsor in the country. Now, these four nations, there'll be 30,000 people allowed into these nations through the app, which will allow them what they call parole. It's, I know. So when they're paroled in this country, essentially, they're given residency. So they can work legally here for up to 2 years, but you have to have a sponsor. And you also have to have the app and do it from your home country. Do I think that that is going to happen? I do not. I don't. I just think it's desperation, and I just don't think anything's going to come out of it that's worth a damn. Because, and again, not on him in some ways, on the president's past and probably future, for not busting the balls of Congress to get things done in a real way. And we know the number one fix is fix the asylum process. And not by an app, but fix the actual process where no matter who you are, not Nicaragua, Guatemala, Venezuela, Cuba, and Haiti, but all nations, there's a process for this, and speed that process up so you can really go through and adjudicate whether or not these people deserve the opportunity for asylum, not allow any other nation to show up and say, I need asylum here because I'm being persecuted. And they go, okay, come on in. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show. Your Twitter, your Instagram, all of the other things. A lot of stuff to get to. We're going to talk about that nut job in Idaho just the details yesterday came out. We're going to talk about that. Mike Lyons going to join us about the hour. We're going to talk about China. We're going to talk about Russia, what's going on. It's almost been a year. Our military analyst will join the program at the bottom of the hour. MyPillow slept pretty damn good last night. You guys know that one of my New Year's resolutions, and I want you guys to keep me on this, is more rest, more sleep. That's the number one New Year's resolution for me is in so many ways that. And part of that is being able to be comfortable when you're inside your bed. And with my Giza Dream Sheets, I am. Right now, $29.98. Long staple cotton, a special cotton grown in a special area in the Mediterranean, between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea. And it is awesome. Breathable, cool, comfortable. When people talk about why people turn the air down at night, it's because usually about 68 degrees is the comfort level your body needs to sleep to get a great sleep. This will help with that. Tons of colors and styles to choose from. 6-day money-back guarantee, 1-year limited warranty at $29.98. Get yours now while quantities last. Go to MyPillow.com when you do use code Benson. MyPillow.com, code Benson. MyPillow.com, code Benson. Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
I have other children that absolutely need me to keep going on. We're a big family, and I have to do everything in my power to protect them and take care of them. And part of that sometimes is being uncomfortable.
That's Steve Gonzalez, who is the father of one of the murdered students from Idaho yesterday, as that absolute ridiculous smug asshat returned to Idaho to face what is going to be a reckoning. And it is, you know, sometimes you look at people and go, man, that's the shooter. And we joke. You look at this guy and you say to yourself, this dude believes he's smarter than everybody else. He studied serial killers for years. He was fascinated by him. And in not like, I'm studying this because I want to catch them. He became so allured with this. It is crazy. So for weeks, when everybody said they don't have anything, they don't have DNA, they don't have anything, people go, how the hell did they catch this guy? Well, there's just a quick, like a Hyundai Elantra and da 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 da. Well, here it is, kids. They caught him because now that the affidavit's out, we know exactly what he had left there.
By the time police had turned to the public for help finding the white Hyundai, Koberger was already on their radar. But after the murders, Koberger changed his license plate from Pennsylvania to Washington. As they removed evidence from the Moscow, Idaho home, investigators now say they'd harvested DNA from an empty leather knife sheath found next to the bodies of Kaylee Gonzalez and Madison Mogan. And as they closed in on Koberger, police say that DNA matched DNA from Koberger's father, which they collected from trash outside the family's Pennsylvania home.
Yeah, so they said within a few days, they had figured out, okay, this white Elantra, they had this sheath that was left there, and they were starting to put a picture together. You know, they're bringing the profilers, whole nine yards. This isn't the Moscow police, this is the FBI. They knew something was up, and they kind of started to zero in, but they needed the evidence. They then... You know, you've heard conflicting reports that the FBI had him pulled over twice to try to get, I don't know if that's true or not. I've heard it is. I heard it isn't, just to see if they could, take a look at his hands, you know, have them, hey, you know, I pulled you over because you were too close to the truck. You were tailgating and, you know, but, and his dad, if you saw the video, his dad starts saying where they were coming from and he gets pissed at his dad. Like, don't tell him where we're coming from. So they went. They got the trash, and through the genealogy that's out there, you know, the people that do DNA tests and stuff to find out their heritages, they were able to connect one to another, and voila, they got this SOB. He is beyond smug. Pennsylvania, they said he was dancing around inside his cell. He was laughing. He threatened to expose people. He was telling horrible jokes. He is he thinks... I'm going to get away with this. One of the reasons they say he wants to get back there so fast is he wanted to know all the evidence they have on him. And in Idaho, you failed. So be prepared for that. Be prepared for that. If I was that father, I couldn't even imagine being in the same room with him and not trying to get my hands on him. Screw looking you in the eyes, you SOB. I'll do everything I can to get to you myself. Now, the DNA match is 99.99999% certain his. They've pinged his phone to that house on more than a few occasions. Like he was stalking the house, and that's what somebody brought up. He was stalking so much the house as anything else. So the evidence is pretty good. But I'm telling you now, he thinks he's going to be able to talk his way out of it. He's smarter than the average bear. He thinks he's going to be able to do this. The look on his face, all of those. There is a sense to me that he believes that he could have gotten away with the perfect crime, and he's going to show everybody how to do it, and he's going to be surprised. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show. It's your Twitter, your Instagram. Hope all is well of you on this beautiful Friday. Coming up, my clients. First time this year we've spoken to our retired major and a military analyst. Talk about what's going on in Ukraine, what's going on in China, and a lot of other things as we head into this geopolitical world of uncertainty this year and what we could expect. We'll talk to him straight ahead. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
It's been almost a year, almost 1 year since Russia invaded Ukraine. Cynical ceasefire mabobber for, I think it was the Orthodox Christmas is going on. I mean, it's just, where are we? That's why when we ask that question of where we are as far as the military, the might, what could potentially happen, we turn to one guy only, our military analyst, retired major in the Army, Mike Lyons. And Mike, happy new year. Thanks so much for coming on. And what's the latest with this bizarre, hey, we're going to have a ceasefire while we train?
Hey, Chad, great to be with you. Happy New Year. Really no ceasefire. Russia's not stopping. They're continuing to reinforce men and equipment to their front. The Ukraine military is looking to win tactical battles still in that south and the Donbass region. And now, though, reports yesterday are pretty positive about the United States and Germany as well, sending Bradley fighting vehicles to Ukraine. Now, this is a major increase for offensive operations that that the Ukraine government can do. And after doing some research the last few weeks, we've come to find out that what we're doing here is we're going to give Ukraine a few more months and see how much they can attrit this Russian military in place there. And then perhaps in the springtime, they'll flip a switch and look to send more offensive weapons, kind of like the Bradley. The Bradley's kind of a tweener. It's not necessarily something that is a deal changer for Ukraine yet. The Abrams tank would, but not the Bradley fighting vehicle. But anyway, the war goes on, and Russia still is stuck in place, and Ukraine's still looking for that one tactical victory to likely get the Russians to do something different, but they haven't changed.
Hey, earlier this week, what was it, that HIMARS thing? Explain that, where they hit those barracks and killed who knows how many Russians, could be 60, could be 100 and something. How does that work?
So they use geo-tagging with all the Russian soldiers on their phones. They haven't really learned any OPSEC here from what's going on in the field. The Russians have not been a learning military, and we see that really every day. They make the same mistakes over and over again. And they were able to geotag and figure out that there was a high concentration of people there. And you take the HIMARS system, which is highly accurate, and that's the key to modern warfare artillery, is the accuracy of it. In the past, it was more of an area fire weapon where you try to disrupt, 4 or 5 square miles. Now, these kinds of artillery weapons can drop rounds in very specific areas. And then there were secondary and tertiary explosions because they had these soldiers next to ammunition dumps and the like. So it was kind of the perfect target But you combine the good intel with the responsiveness of being able to, you know, get the target, get the rounds on time to the target, and you get that kind of result. I mean, I think that if there's one thing that Ukraine should be looking to do is to get large formations of Russians to surrender. I think that's, and in this instance, for example, when you kill 60 or 100 of them at a time there, it's going to get the Russians thinking differently about their positions and locations.
Yeah, didn't they set up a hotline, Mike? We're talking to Mike Lyons, military analyst. They set up a hotline, right? Like an 800 number you could call in and surrender, and it's bizarre.
Right, and I think the way Ukraine can win this is if they can figure out a way to truly threaten Crimea. Right, right now they don't have that leverage. So let's get back tactically. Right, so why the hotline? Right, so you take the troops that are in the southern region there that are protecting Crimea that are along that salient in the south along the Sea of Azov there. If you could figure out a way tactically to split them in a couple of different ways, first geographically on the ground there, and then get large numbers, 10, 15,000 of them to surrender, it opens up a wide path for Ukraine military to go and threaten Crimea. And I think that's the only leverage that they could possibly exert over Russia to get Russia to make their changes and make their behavior different. So I think that that is one of the things that's happening every day in Ukraine to try to get them. I also check the weather every day. It's you know, you check the weather in Kyiv, you check the weather in the oblasts down there. It's still very cold, very rough conditions. And right now Ukraine remains to be more creative with what they're doing.
Talking to Mike Lyons, military analyst, we talk about what's going on in Russia. The Russians need, you know, the allies are giving obviously a bunch of stuff to Ukraine. The Russians are getting stuff from Iran and North Korea. Is that about it?
That's it. And but they still are selling their oil to, you know, 3 or 4 billion people throughout India and throughout China and these other locations. I mean, so that's why the economic sanctions really haven't worked in the last 10 months. That's probably been the biggest failure from the West, that there's been no economic statecraft or lever that's been pulled that's allowed them to change their behavior. You looked at their budgets, actually, the Russian budget for their military came out and the last couple of weeks that they're only about 1 or 2% off of what they spent last year. So they continue to be funded. But they're now starting to also bring equipment. Talking to another analyst about this, they're starting to bring equipment from the other side of the Ural Mountains. Russia doesn't, you know, sunset or mothball, you know, put things out to pasture for very long. They use everything. So they're starting to bring equipment back that's probably 30, 40, 50 years old in some ways. So they're going to do whatever they can to throw what they can at the Ukraine military. The question is how they're going to get it to the front.
You know, you talk about the financial side, and we'll get to that. But, you know, you talk about India. I heard their ambassador the other day, and I thought, you know, that makes sense. He's like, look, we got 5 billion people. We're going to overtake the Chinese. We, you know, the West problems are the West problems. And if they're not figuring out a way to help us get past this, we got to do what's right for our country and our people. And that makes sense.
Yeah, from with one of the greatest foreign policy failures on our side is not our ability to marshal the Indian people. We know are resourceful. I mean, look, Indian people that come to the United States, we know that they generally, you know, are resourceful people from their culture's perspective, and a billion of them. But the problem is, the United States has been so focused on Pakistan, which is a mortal enemy of India, and we seem to make them the advantage, and just because of a few nuclear rounds they have, and well, India's got the same nuclear capability as well. So, if you had a, you know, to try to have a dream team on foreign policy, you'd figure out a way to have a better relationship with India and figure out a better way to make sure that they're not aligned with Russia and China and that other part of the world, because it really splits. You know, they're the differentiator between splitting the world into two separate poles right now.
Talking to Mike Lyons, military analyst, what's going on in, you know, D.C. is very interesting. Obviously, we're at the, you know, I know we're at the 55,000th vote trying to get a Speaker of the House. But the reality is how is this going to affect, once they eventually come up with somebody and that person's in place, what's going to happen potentially moving forward when it comes to funding all of this money that is going to Ukraine. You and I have joked about it. If you want to put money somewhere investment-wise, put it with the military-industrial complex, find out who's producing these things. How's that going to affect everything going forward?
Well, I still think we've gotten expelled a lot. We've gone through so many war stocks already in our country. So, you know, still by Raytheon, still by Lockheed, still by the missile companies that are going to continue to have to produce this. I read a report that we now are like 13 years into our stocks for service to air missiles, for example, you know, Stingers and the like, and the Javelins. And so I think that's still going to, you know, be a great business opportunity for people that want to do that. But money going specifically to Ukraine, this administration has already put so much to it. I mean, it's five times. We've written them a blank check for five times what their annual budget is already for what they spend in their military. They spend about $20 billion. The earmarks are over $100 billion right now for Ukraine. So they've got a kind of a ways to go. I'm not sure how the Republicans and whoever they would be would shut off that spigot for right now. Because I do believe, again, still in the short term, you know, the purpose of United States giving this aid is to attrit the Russian military down to a certain point, and then we'll throw more offensive weapons in, and perhaps then the war will come to an end a lot faster.
Talking to Mike Lyons, military analyst, let's turn over quickly to China. You know, this week, how close did they get to one of our planes? I feel like Xi is pushing a little bit more. He's got a nightmare going on with COVID. This feels a little unsettling.
Yeah, I'm seeing less and less, though, more reports about they're going to keep their powder dry, recognizing that we know that they you know, part of their tactics is to sink a carrier and all the things that are there. But I think you're seeing more or less the concern that the Chinese have of the rest of NATO being involved in that conflict, and what that would mean should the United States be attacked with an attack on Taiwan. So I don't think you're going to see anything this year necessarily. I don't usually make these kind of predictions, but just based on the military movements that we've seen in the Pacific right now, the fact that we have more resources there than we've had before. I mean, we're looking to have two carriers there now at this point. And it doesn't appear that that the Taiwan situation is going to change this year. Now that could be a change. More people predict more the end of this decade when it kind of happens. But everybody gets older then, and the world changes. So we have to see. But I think the situation there, from a military perspective, is the U.S. Navy is doing a great job deterring the situation on the ground right now.
Last question. Appreciate you coming on today. As always, Mike Lyons, our military analyst. One thing we haven't talked a lot about, because with everything else going on, a little sideways here, a little sideways there, obviously, is terrorism. And I have read a lot. I have seen a lot of my favorite pundits and people talk about this, that Africa is becoming more and more a hotbed of terrorism than I think people realize, and that a lot of people expect there to be some nastiness and potential targets and terrorist attack against us and our allies and embassies and things throughout that region. I mean, it's scary because it's kind of got, again, put on the back burner. Terrorism, we don't think of about it, you know, like we used to. But Africa has been a place where a lot of people go and hide, train, and you're seeing a huge rise in Islamic militantism throughout the entire region.
That's a great point. I know talking to Special Forces guys, they still are focused extremely in their training and a lot of things going on in Africa, in the Maghreb areas there. It's still a great portion of Africa's desert, difficult logistically to support. That's a good example of where we use our financial leverage to cut off ways to fund them, because it does take a lot more logistics in order to keep those operations going in the deserts of Africa. But there is concern. There is no question that if you take your eye off one thing, especially everybody's focused on Ukraine, that could happen. I think that there's enough of an infrastructure that's built up now in the U.S., especially with the special operators and the command and what's happening there. We've got still enough eyes on there using technology, using satellite technology. I think, you know, you and I remember those days when we used to see all the guys running around on monkey bars with AK-47s, and we just said, "Boy, I wonder what they're going to do," you know. But I think those days are over. In that we're still striking terrorist camps inside of Syria. We still are striking these places. So I think when they come up, They get kind of taken out in the middle of the night. And I've been assured by people that we're still slitting throats in the middle of the night in places like that. So I'm confident that we're keeping an eye on it.
That's a good thing. And it's, I know people say that sounds horrible. Trust us. And I'm sure you know this better than anything, Mike. There's a lot of things that are going on in places around the world that we don't know about, but we sleep at night with a smile on our face and safety because some people are doing, as you say, slitting some throats in parts of the world and taking care of business for people that would love to destroy our way of life.
That's exactly right. And it's no other, it's the reality of the situation, and it's exactly right. And I don't know what else to say about it, but we get to sleep and we get to, that's the blanket of the freedom that we have here in our great country.
Absolutely. Mike Lyons, is always good to have you. Have a good one. Go Islanders, and I'll talk to you soon, brother.
Thanks, Chad. Talk soon. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Mike Lyons, military analyst right there. The India thing is very interesting. We might touch on a little bit later. Just the fact that I get what they're saying, man. It's your country. But they're buying all that oil from and that's helping fund all that stuff that's going on in Russia. At the same time, what have we done? Have we told them, look, we're going to pump as much oil as we can. We're going to give it to you at cost. Hell, the government will even lose some money to make sure that you're saying no to them. If we're not doing that, we're not building those relationships, that's on us, isn't it? I think so. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us, text the program. Rough Greens, RUFFGreens.com/Chad. My wife said to me last night, you know, I didn't think Doodle was going to last this long. And I started laughing. I said, you know what? You worry about a dog when they stop eating. And Doodle does not stop eating. He's energetic. She goes, I've never seen him. He's crazy. He runs all over the house all the time, even though he doesn't see very well anymore. My old dog is living his best life thanks to Rough Greens. Vitamins, minerals, probiotics, omega 3, 6, 9. It's hilarious to see. Sprinkle it on top of his food. So we, last night, the kids fed him. So they put the food in the bowl. And he looks at them like, well, oh, and they're like, oh, so they take the powder out, which is the Rough Greens, and sprinkle it on top. It's hilarious. He scoops it up. He eats it. It is fantastic. Energy, so much better. His skin, so much better. Digestive tract, so much better. And most importantly for me, no more aches and pains like he had before. Try Rough Greens right now for free. All you have to do is cover the cost of shipping. RUFFGreens.com/Chad. RoughGreens.com/Chad. RoughGreens.com/Chad. Chad Benson Show.
Deep states? No. Deep doo-doo? Yeah. The Chad Benson Show.
Avatar: The Way of Water is now the 10th highest grossing film of all time. It just crossed the $1.5 billion global earnings mark and will likely unseat 2012's The Avengers in the number 9 spot before the weekend's done.
Let's get it done.
It's also shot down Top Gun Maverick to become 2022's highest grossing global release. The Way of Water will have to double that $1.5 billion to replace 2009's Avatar as the top grossing film of all time.
Yeah, no challengers again this week. I don't even know when the next big challenger's coming. Now, this weekend should be good, and I'm going to go see it tonight, I think. I haven't been to a movie. So if you guys listen to the show regularly, you know, for a while, you know, I used to go see a movie on Thursday night, whatever's opening, and I did that forever and a day. But then COVID hit. I stopped seeing movies. My daughter got a little bit older. She likes to go to movies now, but we're not going to take her to see this, although that would be solid parenting. Because Megan opens today. And if you've not seen the trailer for Megan, in a word, it's a Blumhouse movie, I believe, with a girl whose parents are killed. She goes to live with her aunt, who's like a computer programmer slash, you know, whatever. And she's the big company she's worked for. They've come up with this doll. It's like, you know, 10 years old, and it's going to be her best friend, and it goes sideways. It's like AI gone sideways, and the trailer is disturbing when the little doll dances. So that is going to do well this weekend, but, you know, this, what are you going to do, right? I mean, at the end of the day, what are you going to do if you're a movie right now? Because you want to stay as far away. You want to let the waves of Avatar, which I have zero desire to see the movie, but you want to let the waves of Avatar settle down before you throw anything big out there. But I will see Mega tonight because it's a bit spooky and creepy. And I like that. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us. Text the program. Love hearing from every single one of you. Check out the podcast. If you're missing the show, it is The Chad Benson Show.
This is The Chad Benson Show.